You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 303. Today is Sunday, June 21st, 2015, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the great debut of Matt Whistler, Folty being sent down, Bethencourt being sent down, and last night's trade of Phil Gosselin to the Diamondbacks for a pitching prospect in Bronson Arroyo. But first, guys, the sweep of the Mets. So all the Braves did was face three of the premier guys on their team and almost the league in DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Matt Harvey. And we opposed them with a rookie making his first start, a minor leaguer who's come out of nowhere in Williams Perez, and our struggling ace who's been anything but. Not to mention that our best hitter, Freddie Freeman, sitting on the bench the entire series. We swept the Mets out of first place. It really was a great, great weekend. Kurt, what was your favorite part of the sweep?
Well, it really just the start that Whistler had, but keyed off with Jace Peterson's hit, the two RBI hit. I mean, that was my gosh, how clutch has that guy been for
so
a rookie?
So good.
And so good. And I mean, maybe we don't do it enough. It's amazing the pieces that have been put together on this roster and continue to be put together on this roster that were not part of this team even, you know, 8 months ago, and the contributions that we're getting. And it makes you really excited about the future of the team.
The Padres funnel has been amazing.
Well, so much young talent.
That's what my favorite thing is that the two people who essentially single-handedly won the game were Padre roommates last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you so many times, and this was just giving up Kimbrel and Justin, right? And this is, and you never know what you're going to get back, right? And to have them, I mean, Peterson has just done so amazingly all season. He's so great. And then to have Whistler, the two of them have that game Friday. It's just very inspiring, you know, and it gives you a lot of hope for this team.
Yeah, we hadn't scored any runs against Gil Martin, a former Brave farmhand himself. Yeah, just that situation. I mean, these guys just, it's amazing to have the poise that so many of these young guys have to come into that situation and perform.
Yeah, you know, last week we talked about what a big week this was that just ended, that, you know, what a big week this was coming up. Four against the Red Sox, who were really struggling, and then three against the first place team in the Mets. And, you know, to split with the Red Sox, which was somewhat disappointing, you know, you probably should have taken three, but to sweep the Mets like that, to bump them out of first place, you know, at one point we were 4.5 games out of first place this week. We're now only 2 games out of first place.
It's crazy.
I mean, it was such an important week, and to have taken advantage of the situation against real odds with those three pitchers going for the Mets like that, and again, without our best hitter in the lineup, just says a lot about this team. It was an amazing, amazing series.
Well, and, you know, the Mets have been struggling on the road. They're one of the worst road teams in the National League, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you still have to win the games, you know, and for the Braves to face those three, like you said, those three great starting pitchers, and for Teherán to have the game he had today, I mean, that's a close runner-up to my favorite part of this series. It says a lot about this team that we're not far away, you know. I mean, I'm just going back to the fact that we're 500 coming into the season. I would have been shocked, to be honest with you. I feel like we are further ahead than we should be, or maybe than I thought we were going to be. And it's very exciting in the corner, or, you know, the horizon. Maybe it's not 2017, right? I mean, maybe it's next year with some of these pieces. So it really gives you hope this type of week and this type of series.
Yeah, you know, I can look at this series and squint just a little and say, this is a jumping off place. And the season gets even better after this, because the team is really going to, you know, if they believed in themselves a lot before this, and I think they did, they believe in themselves even more now. And, you know, the first two games, the Mets scored first. The Braves had to come back in the first two games. The bullpen gave up 0 runs this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, could this really be a jumping off place? I think it could. And what a better series to happen as you then head to Washington, who's now in first place, two games ahead of us, and let's see what we can do against Washington. We are a much better team today than we were, whatever, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the last time we faced Washington. I really am interested to see what this team can do against the Nationals.
Well, and we talked some last week about they would win a big game and then not be able to kind of put something behind it. And Friday could have easily been another one of those games where they won a huge game against a guy they really have not done anything off of, and then come back and Williams Perez was not great on Saturday, but still found a way, scored runs in that game, which they didn't really score runs, obviously, in the other two games. This is the first series that they won in like a month. I don't even know when the last time they swept a series. It's probably going back to when they started the season off so hot. But maybe you're right. Maybe that they did put these three games together. Whether the Mets struggle on the road, these were not easy. This was not a team that kind of fumbled and stumbled around. I mean, this weekend it took all of our energies and efforts to win these games. So it was, yeah, you're right. Against this pitching, it's just there's all sorts of plaudits that we should be throwing around.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to say that Tehran has figured it out and he's fixed and look at the amazing starting rotation we have now. But today was incredible, and he outpitched Harvey. His slider looked great. I saw Bowman posted that, five of his strikeouts, the strikeout pitch was a slider, which is a really great sign. I mean, Tehran looked
the fact
amazing.
That he had five strikeouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. I mean, multiple strikeouts. I mean, he barely had any his past couple starts.
And, through seven, I don't remember exactly, but he was only in the 80s. Pitch count wise. I mean, they had to take him out because they finally had someone in scoring position and they needed to see if they could drive him in. But, he was also being efficient. I mean, it was just a terrific start. Something else, hopefully, maybe the Braves can build off of in that Tehran start.
He just can't pitch on the road.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, they really need to manipulate the schedule better.
Yeah, he's like 5-0 at home now.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. Well, so obviously a big part of this Mets series was Matt Whistler's debut. So second only to getting rid of Melvin's contract in the Craig Kimbrel trade was the acquisition of Matt Whistler, highly prized pitching prospect in the Padres organization. MLB had ranked him 70th in the top 100 prospects when we acquired him. So we'll talk about Folty being sent down in a minute, who obviously paved the way for Whistler to start. But let's talk about that start on Friday night. I mean, but Friday afternoon, I put a question out on Twitter about guessing, how many innings, how many runs he'd give up, how many strikeouts. And predictably, it was anywhere between 4 and 6 innings and, 3 to 5 runs. And of course, all he did was go 8 full, 1 run, and do it all in 88 pitches, which it's been decades since a rookie went 8 innings in 88 pitches or fewer.
Yeah,
so guys,
crazy.
Let's marvel at that for a few minutes. Tammy, what struck you the most about that start?
I mean, there was so much in that game that was exciting, but the fact that he equaled a stat that had not been done by a Brave since John Smoltz. Right. So John Smoltz is the only other Brave in Atlanta history to go 8 innings as a rookie in his first start and give up less than one run or less. It was against the Mets back in 98. But 88. But I think that was amazing. I mean, I know that there's a long way to go with Whistler. I know that his stats were, in AAA, he had some rough spots and he certainly wasn't lights out. But
had some amazing starts. I mean, just a quick thing. His last start before he came up was pretty awful. But the 3 out of the 5 before that were pretty dominating. So it wasn't out of left field.
Right. It wasn't. But I don't think all of a sudden he's going to go 15-2 this season, right? I mean, I think there's, I think it would be nice.
Although there is a small part of me.
There is a small part that hopes. Yes, exactly. But you know, we're, and I think we're going to talk about Roger in a little day, in a little bit, and about young pitchers and how we haven't had sort of any real good young pitching come up and be a stalwart for the bullpen for a long time. And you see someone compared to John Smoltz, who obviously was such a cornerstone for the Braves and such a part of so many successful seasons, it gets you excited about, even more so about the future of this team. So the fact that, you know, it's reminiscent of Smoltz when he was young coming in is great. It's very exciting. Many innings to go, but that, you know, it's just more reason to hope.
Yeah. Curtis, how about you?
Well, I just think that there, just all the added pressure, it's not just some random Tuesday night game against the Brewers or something. I mean, it's the team that's leading the division. It's against Jacob DeGrom, who's an amazing young pitcher himself, and who's dominated
and
the Braves.
Hair. God,
oh, the hair. Yeah, the hair. His career against the Braves, he's got a 1.88 ERA with a 0.767 WHIP. So kind of overpowering us. So you know that runs are going to be tough to come by. And for the expectations, I didn't, you know, I saw those tweets coming through and I kind of laughed at myself being the cynical realist that I am. I did not anticipate that he was going to be able to come in and do, and even giving up two or three runs, I thought would be great. But
yeah,
I just
five innings, six
yeah,
tops,
right.
Of course,
and that you just chalk it up as a, you know, an opportunity to get to see a big piece of our future and hope that he can kind of hang in there. And it, you know, it obviously far exceeded all of that, and it was just amazing. I can't imagine, you know, you kept getting the great shots of his family that's there, and just, I mean, it was a big crowd, there was tons of Mets fans, and just for him to overcome all of that. On top of everything else, the expectations were himself, and to deliver what he did, it was just, it was really great.
John Hart got so drunk Friday night after that game. Yeah, so, he just looked so poised and so polished. Fastball, slider, curve, changeup, they all looked pretty good, and some of them great. And quite possibly my favorite part of it, aside from, you know, the actual line and results, was all the swearing that they caught on camera. It was really funny, and particularly the last one. It was, you know, right as Grilly was throwing his last pitch, and he's leaning over the dugout wall. And you know, there were some terrific GIFs out on Twitter with it too. I mean, it was just the whole thing was really perfect. I mean, it really couldn't have been a better night. It couldn't have been a better night.
And a better start to the series, right? And if it's a jumping off point, what a great one, you know?
Exactly. All right, so guys, obviously what made all that possible was the move to send Folty down to AAA. So Curtis, do you think it was the right move?
I do. You brought up his numbers last week, and it was clear that it was getting worse by the start. And so I don't know that what his future holds. I mentioned maybe groom him to be a closer at some point, but I think that this really was the smartest move. You have options down there. Obviously, Whistler was the one they chose, but you could have brought up a couple of guys to fill that spot
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I totally agree. I'd rather he go down and start and figure some stuff out. And, I mean, he's another guy that's a big part of this, whether he is, it does end up being our future closer, whatever it might be. You know, we need him ready to be able to come back up here and contribute.
Yeah. It's really, this move was in line with this, with the balancing act that they're doing right now of, We're in contention and we're trying to stay in contention. We're also trying to see what we have for the future. You saw Folty's trajectory getting more and more ugly. I mean, over his last three games, 14 earned, 29 hits, 4 home runs. This was a good move, right? You got to balance, let him work through it and figure it out and, you know, on the job training and all that stuff compared to getting so frustrated that it messes with your head. And messing with the mental side of the game is really dangerous as well. You know, what's a shame, I don't know if you guys noticed or saw, but that same night, Friday night, as Whistler's start, Folty pitched for AAA, and he gave up 7 earned, 2 homers, and 4 walks in 6 innings. So maybe his confidence is still a bit shaken. You know, I heard the pregame Freddie interview on 680 that afternoon after they had sent him down. And Freddie was pretty honest about it, saying that he was not happy when they told him. But then he and Roger spent like 2 hours with him right after telling him, and that he was in a much better space at the end of the day when he left. So I hope that he starts to have some success down in AAA, because that'll really be important. Hammy, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I just don't think that, you know, there's the option of maybe you slot him into some sort of bullpen role, you know, and take him out of starting and see if maybe it just that helps him. But I don't think he bring, you know, I think it's more important to think about the long-term future, you know, take him down. Maybe you groom him to be a closer, like you said, Curtis, or whatever. But there's no reason to keep him up here performing the way he is, especially since we don't have to.
All right, guys. So staying with pitching and sending Folty down, Mark Bradley wrote a column after that transaction this week about all the pitching talent that's lost its way with the Braves, calling out guys like Hanson and JJ. And he was essentially implicating Roger and his inability to coach mechanics. So thoughts on this, Ham? You think it's valid? Think that he has anything here?
Well, so he's been with us 10 years. You know, and actually, even in his first season, he inherited a Jorge Sosa, who started 20 games, went 13-3, and then went on to have a horrible year the following season, 3-10 with the Braves, and actually ended up a season with the Cardinals. So, you know, there's evidence there that promising young talent didn't go anywhere. And then you start to look at that list you mentioned of Hanson and Jurgens, Beachy even. Chuck James had a good first year and then never did anything. Horacio Ramirez had talent. So, and then you're like, you realize that they're, you know, we're lacking an Avery or a Glavin or a Smoltz or someone who we actually came up with the organization. We haven't had that for a long time. And I think a lot of that is just pitchers don't play out, right? You take your chances and for whatever reason. So I don't know if it's a matter of if it's mechanics, but I wonder if McDowell doesn't know how to groom pitchers for longer careers. I mean, certainly there's evidence of older pitchers, veteran pitchers here coming here and maybe having some success. So maybe he's better suited to have veteran pitchers under his wing. But I think you've got to point a little bit at McDowell over 10 years, which is certainly an ample data or, you know, sample set to say, why haven't we taken the talent that we've had and turned it into a, you know, a stalwart of our starting rotation.
Curtis, what do you see here?
Yeah, I'm kind of with him. My thinking is I don't really know what our expectations are for how long a guy is supposed to be consistent and hang around a starting rotation, because looking back through these list of names, I mean, it's amazing that some of the guys that I had forgotten about that were part of this, you know, and were supposed to be some future guys. And on top of that, maybe we should give him credit for having a couple of good seasons that he pulled out of these guys, and maybe they weren't that really all that great to begin with, because it's not as if these guys have gone on to other locales, and of course tons and tons of them have, and gone on to be all-stars or you know, top of the lineup guys. Tommy Hanson has hardly, I mean, JJ, both of them are pitching AAA. You've got guys like Blaine Boyer who were around. You know, I mean, the list goes on. So I don't know how much you can peg on him. I mean, I there is something that we cannot develop anybody. I mean, when you looked at the rotation, let me see what year it was. It was 2011. You had Beachy, JJ, Hanson, Minor, Randall Delgado, and Tehran. Now, if you would have thought at that time, you would have thought those guys would still be pitching for us and would be anchoring this rotation.
Sure, I would have told you it would be that exact rotation probably.
Yeah. And we have none of them. Tehran. Who only had two starts that year. So I don't know why we can't develop guys that can stay. I mean, basically the life cycle, it's like you're a British fighter pilot during World War II. You've got a 20-minute life cycle in the Braves starting rotation now. The guys last about two or three seasons, and then either their elbow explodes and they never come back again, or they hit a wall and their career falls off the cliff and they're never heard from again.
You know, I just look at it, and there's no doubt that a lot of guys just seemingly stopped being able to pitch. But I look at, you know, JJ injured his knee and was never the same. Hanson's delivery was always really funky and never seemed completely sustainable to me. I just find it hard to believe that in an organization like the Braves, who have a lot of smart baseball guys around, that you know, no one would have raised their hand at some point over these 10 years and said, you know, Roger's really good with a sinker, but really otherwise he just doesn't understand pitching mechanics and he's screwing everybody up. I just, you know, think about how much Glavin is around and how much Smoltz is around and how much Bobby is around. And forget all the current coaches who have, you know, baseball lifers. It just seems a little lazy and easy to say, well, Roger just doesn't know how to do this. You know, Bradley used the Julio example, saying that he and Freddie and everybody keep insisting there's nothing wrong with him physically. He's not injured, so it must be mechanics. Now, that totally ignores the mental side of the game, for one thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Julio's just been shaken this year. He had a couple bad starts and hasn't been able to respond, today notwithstanding, and hopefully this is the start of something. But I just think pitchers are really fragile creatures, and so few of them really hit, meaning, you know, success, and have sustained success. I think it sells newspapers, but I don't buy it.
Well, and we might be totally warped because we had three guys. And Smoltz, we easily forget about the fact Smoltz was here forever, but, I mean, he had how many arm surgeries? How many seasons did he miss so much time in? Steve Avery had a very short career. So we got to watch Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, who had really, really lengthy careers, but they were—
And no injuries.
Yeah. And they're anomalies. We look at a guy like Adam Wainwright, who misses time at start after start after start. Guys that are starting, that are top rotation guys, that are starting to break down now, and their careers have not gone that long. So maybe we're just jaded by the fact that we were exposed to guys like Glavine and Maddux, and we felt like every— at least maybe that's me, I'm speaking for myself, but maybe you think that guys should have careers that last longer than 3 or 4 years, and maybe that really just is the way it is. I mean, the wear is so damning on the arm to throw that many pitches, so, you know, maybe we're just looking this through the wrong lens.
All right, guys, next up is fair or foul, where I throw something out there, we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, at the start of this week, the Braves sent catcher of the future, Christian Bethencourt, down to AAA. So, Kurt, fair or foul, you think this was the right move?
I do. I think that it's almost like Folty, that he's got to kind of get his head screwed on right. Sean had a nice blog about his defensive woes and to not make too much of them. But, I mean, you talk about the mental aspect. That can certainly be a side effect of the mental aspect, too. So, I think it's a smart move to get him down there. I do think he still is a valuable piece of the future if he can get it squared away. So let's hope that happens with him as well.
Hammy, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He wasn't getting enough at bats. He wasn't, you know, hitting well enough to get enough at bats to really work on anything or figure anything out. And it doesn't make sense to have him as a backup catcher. You know, I don't think that we improved with LaVarnway necessarily. But,
no, LaVarnway was all about a warm body.
Yeah, but he's a better hold this place and let's get Bethencourt right, you know, in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, I fully believe that the Braves were 12 games back at the start of this past week. The move doesn't happen. It's back to the, you know, we want to compete this year, but we also want to see what we have for the future. And layered over that, the horrible catcher's interference, the passed balls. I mean, if he's not going to hit, he needs to be the cannon-armed phenom who's good behind the plate, and he wasn't really even delivering in that way. So while the Braves are still in contention, send him down. You get to send him a message in it, and hopefully he improves as well. So 100% fair on that. All right, guys. So the Braves made a trade last night, sending Phil Gosselin to the Diamondbacks for the number 16 pick in the 2014 draft, right-handed pitcher Touki Toussaint, as well as Bronson Arroyo, who's recovering from Tommy John surgery, which is good because those new bylaws, in the Braves' charter that they can't make a trade unless there's a guy with Tommy John.
That's right. It wasn't the $9 million. It was we had to take someone with Tommy John.
Exactly. Right. So he may or may not be available sometime in August. So, Ham, fair or foul, you approve of this trade?
Yeah, fair, absolutely. I mean, I liked Gosselin. I like what he brought. I thought his injury this year was really unfortunate. I mean, much like Pastrnicki's. And, Kurt, you've spoken in the past about how it seems like that type of guy with the Braves just can't catch a break sometimes. But it makes us better. It makes us better from a trader, you know. T-R-A-D-E-R, not a trade.
As in we have a bunch of pieces all the time.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and you know, whether and I mean, we have too many pieces now, I think, ultimately. Like, I don't think, and you mentioned that whole Tehran, Delgado, Hanson, George. I mean, we had more pitchers than we needed. And the big conversation on our show then was which piece do you move to make us better and how do you make us better? So I think we're in that situation again. So maybe we see Toussaint, maybe we don't, but it definitely makes us better.
Absolutely. It's really amazing. I mean, Hart and Copy have been on the job for like 5 minutes. And all the pieces we have, the transformation that's happened is really amazing. Curtis, how about you? Fair or foul on this trade?
Yeah, totally fair. I don't know what we'll get out of Arroyo, if anything. But obviously the big piece is Tukey.
Tukey.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly showing that we can never have enough arms, frankly. So why not add one more to the mix? And shocking that I was reading some of the reactions from baseball people today, and they're floored that the D-backs would make this move and give up on this guy so quick that it was basically like a salary dump or something that they threw him in with trying to get rid of Arroyo. Apparently we are now the trash disposal for salary dumps from the
Tommy John Recovery Center.
Yeah, he can room with Cahill on the road. I mean it's an amazing get for, and no offense to Gosselin, but for a backup infielder.
Yeah, I mean the write ups of this trade, people are just absolutely incredulous that the Diamondbacks would do it, and that it was absolutely highway robbery on the part of the Braves. I mean, how you can't be absolutely excited about this and just one more sort of notch, for John Hart. It just, you know, really, again, for a backup infielder, really sort of incredible.
Yep.
All right, guys. So since his return from the DL at the end of May, Chris Johnson, who the Braves have been trying to trade, of course, since this past offseason, since the end of May, he's slashing 147, 171, 235, which I'm pretty sure is terrible. Mm. So, Kurt, fair or foul, the Braves will DFA Chris Johnson before the end of this season.
Eating more money. I'm going to go foul. I don't know why. There is no purpose for him to be on the team anymore. And they've been willing, more than willing, to eat tons and tons of money this year. But that might be a bridge too far for them. And Uribe, as much as I've grown to love Uribe, he's old. He could break down. I don't know how much faith I put in some of these younger Siriaco guys like that. And, you know, Johnson can play first. I guess Kelly Johnson can play too, but I'm going to go foul.
All right, Hammy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even before he came back from the All-Star break, or the All-Star break, the DL, the opposite of the All-Star break, he was bad, right? And add on to this that the Braves, they're very vocally shopping him around, so much so that there's, you know, articles being written about it, and nobody wants him.
I can't imagine why not.
Yeah, it's so unsurprising. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Hart plays this out, right, this season. And I think he actually does it. I think he DFAs him. I think that it would be hard in the face – hard to do in face of what we owe him and our history with overpaid people that we pay not to play. But – if Uribe is healthy and others are healthy around him, I think we just cut our ties and move on.
You know, Chris Johnson is certainly the last piece of the Frank Wren deals that the current administration hates. Right. Yep. You know, everything else they're really okay with. But I think that I think that at least for – yeah, I'm going to go foul. I think that they keep trying to throw him out there against lefty starters, hope he starts to hit, make him look a little more valuable, and see if you can trade for him. Because at this point, right, you know, the money is spent. You get some versatility in the infield that he can play first. Uribe is not the greatest third baseman, making a couple errors this weekend in the New York series. I think they will DFA him in the offseason if they can't trade him, but I think he's a Brave through the regular season.
Can we make a rule that if it's the ninth inning and we have a chance to win, that he's not allowed to come to bat?
Yeah, okay, I think that's a good rule.
I'll write it in.
All right, guys, time to find the silver lining, and obviously a lot this week. What you can hang your hat on. So, Hammy, what's your silver lining for this week?
Mine was Andrelton Simmons. He had a great week. I mean, I was really nervous when he got his finger smashed with that pitch.
Terrible.
And just the thought of, you know, his impact to him, impact to the team. But, you know, he batted over 400. He didn't strike out at all, scored some key runs. And so I thought it was a great week for him.
All right, Curtis?
Digging a little deeper, since I just badmouthed him, I'm going with Pedro Siriaco. He batted .636 this week with 5 RBI, including, of course, the game-winning hit today. So he is my silver lining for the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jim Johnson. 4 appearances this week, 0 runs, 0 walks. One of them was a 2-inning appearance. And, of course, today's appearance, his 4th, was the save in that 1-0 game against the Mets. So, Jim Johnson, look, Johnson and Grilly both, it's not like it's not stressful, but they're getting the job done. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, brought to you by Front Row Seats, where you can get the best deals on tickets online, Braves, concerts, anything you're looking for. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com and use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, it's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, so guys, we'll start with our listener pick for Shot in the Dark, and it was from Twitter follower Kyle Eaton, who predicted that Nick Markakis would hit his first home run of the season at Fenway during the Sox series. It was not to be. So, guys, quick question. Yes or no? Does Markakis hit a home run this year, Hammy?
Yes.
Kurt?
I'm going with he ends the season with 5.
Oh. Yeah, I think he's going to have like 2. I think it's going to be less than 5, but I think that he will hit one as well. All right, guys, before we get to this week's Shot in the Dark, let's check on what we predicted last week. So, Kurt, you predicted that Gomes would hit 2 home runs, and you were only 2 off.
Oh, close. So close.
So close.
He got huge cheers at Fenway, Gomes did.
Yeah, and yeah, a couple things, which is yeah. Neat.
That's it part because he doesn't play for them anymore?
Yeah. He was a big cheerleader for their World Series champion. He had some big plays.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Siriaco, not so much. I know I just butchered his name, yeah, but he's an extra. Yeah. Thank you.
Ham, you predicted 2 home runs from Freddie against the Sox. You were also just 2 off. And I predicted that Banuelos would be called up to the bullpen and pitch 3 scoreless innings. What I meant, of course, was that Whistler would be called up and pitched 8 innings. So I'm winners closest this week. Yeah, you were closest.
Freeman played?
Freeman played in the Red Sox series.
Yes.
So no winners this week. We were all so off. But let's pick it up this week. So, Curtis, what do you got for this coming week?
Jace Peterson, my new boyfriend. Big week. Bats over .350, 3 doubles, 4 RBI.
All right. Hammy, how about you?
I don't know if Peterson can be your boyfriend because he was mine first.
Yeah, and I have a Steve poster of him in my room.
So. Yeah. Just wanted to put that out there. Just know that he's getting around. I'm going to use my wretched shot in the dark luck for good this week. I'm saying that Bryce Harper is going to hit over 400 and have 2 homers against us.
All right, Ham. See, that stuff comes true and you're in big trouble.
Well, but then I get the point.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
At least you didn't pick Ugla.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going with that Wood totally rediscovers it. And he gives up 2 earned runs across his 2 starts this coming week. All right, everybody, please check out our Shot in the Dark sponsor, Front Row Tickets, where you can get the best deals on tickets online, Braves, concerts, anything you're looking for. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com. Use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. It's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, so guys, let's look at the week ahead and predict how we think the Braves are going to do. But let's look back on our predictions for this week that just concluded. It was a 5-2 week. Hammy, you had predicted 4-3, so pretty close. Curtis, you were 2-5 because you hate the Braves.
Terrible.
Ooh.
And I correctly predicted 5-2.
Homer.
Yes, indeedy. All right, this coming week, 3 in Washington and 3 in Pittsburgh. So here are the pitching matchups. It's a little goofy for Washington because I see different things in different places. We know that it's going to be Wood, Miller, and then Whistler for the Braves. So Wood, Miller, Whistler, which you ought to like, frankly. And then Zimmerman and Pfister are pitching, and one of the games is TBD, but it could be the first game, it could be the last game. That's what I've seen. Zimmerman has a 3.75 ERA. He's given up 4-6-3 earned in his last three starts. Pfister's at 4.80. It will be his second start since returning from the DL. He got roughed up in his first start back. On to Pittsburgh, where it'll be Perez against Liriano and his 3.26 ERA. He just gave up 5 to the Nats in his last start. We did not face him when we recently saw Pittsburgh. Tehran faces Charlie Morton. He has a 2.14 ERA. He gave up 3 earned to Atlanta when we faced them.
Another young pitcher that
that Roger totally
ruined.
Yes. And then we got Wood, Jeff Locke, and his 4.74 ERA. Locke gave up 4 earned against us the last time we faced them. Yeah, it's true. All right, so Hammy, what do you got for this coming week?
I think it's going to be a tough week for us. 2-4, 1-2, 1-2.
All right, Curtis?
Yep.
Same. All right, I'm doing the opposite. 4-2, 2-1, 2-1. The Braves make their move. They'll be one game out of first at the end of this week.
Wow. No extra shots in the dark.
You know, one thing we didn't mention, by the way, is that, you know, Freeman got a shot in his wrist. And every day they were saying, well, he'll be back tomorrow.
He could be going to the DL.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to see a specialist. I think he was actually supposed to have seen a specialist today, but I saw no report on it. And Bowman had said he may get an MRI tomorrow, Monday. So let's hope for the best. It would not be great if Freddie Freeman went on the DL. He's a bit of an engine.
Yeah.
A bit of an engine for us.
He's good.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @ATLBaseballTalk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.